विल गो टू वर्स नंबर 31। पवन पवतामस्मी रामशस्त्रभृतामहम् जशानामकरश्चास्मि स्रोतसामस्मि जाह्नवी। सो पवताम अस्मि अमंग ऑल द प्यूरिफायर्स आई एम पवन, आई एम ब्रीज। So there are many things that purify, you know, that clean. But what is it that cleans the atmosphere constantly? It is the flow of air. Like suppose there is a, you know, very horrible, some animal died or something, and there is a horrible stench, a skunk or something. After a while, the gentle breeze will blow and the scent will be gone. No matter how bad a smell is or how dirty, like there might be a pollution, a lot of smoke in the air, but then when the breeze blows, the smoke disappears, it gets cleaned away. So the air is the greatest purifier. In fact, they give examples that the power of wind, I actually didn't know that, but I was reading somewhere that there is a wind called Chinook. It's east of the Rockies, and it is said that when the plains are frozen, tundra is completely frozen, suddenly out of nowhere appears this strong wind called Chinook, which actually raises the temperature 30 degrees. And suddenly the people feel warm, even in Montana and all, suddenly it becomes nice weather. So the idea being that the wind has so much power, you know, the winds that are circulating around us, it not only, but it, of course, you know, it can be a gentle breeze, but it can also become a tornado, it can become a hurricane. And I was reading somewhere that the wind moves because of the power of the sun. You know, it is the sun that heats the air, and then the hot air goes up and the cold air comes down, and that's how all the wind currents. And they say that the power of the sun that moves the winds is equal to 7 million atomic bombs. That much power the sun is releasing to move the winds around. So the idea being that I am the powerful air, and the powerful breeze that can purify. Even sir, here also sometimes you find there is a lot of pollution, and then this strong wind comes from the south. I don't know what it's called. And it comes with so much force, and then suddenly the valley becomes clean, becomes pure. All the pollution goes down. So I am the wind among the purifiers. Rama Shastra Bhritamaham. Shastra Bhritam means among the warriors, among the ones who hold Shastras, the one who hold the weapons, I am Ram. Now, why did he pick Ram? You know, there have been so many great warriors in the history of, you know, mankind, so many powerful, great warriors who had accomplished so much and conquered the whole earth. And there were so many people with so many weapons. And Ram was he's considered as the incarnation of God. But Ram did kill quite a few demons. He destroyed Ravana, who was a great scourge upon the earth, but he didn't conquer the whole earth and he didn't exert his might, and he was very compassionate, very kind. So why did he choose Ram? Exactly for the same reason, because Ram had divine power. He was the most powerful warrior because he was an incarnation of God himself, and we worship Ram as an incarnation of God. But Ram never exerted his authority, never forced his power on anybody. He was always a symbol of love and compassion, and he carried his power very lightly. It was meant only for the benefit of mankind, not for his own personal aggrandizement. So that's why he says, among all the warriors, I am Ram. So the idea being that a person may have power, but one should always remember that where did I get the power from? That I got it from the divine, and always use my power to serve mankind, to make this world a better place. And especially we find in people who have science and technology. Now, where did your power to make the atom or to make all these weapons and make all these, you know, powerful instruments and all that? It came from the Lord. But scientists say, we don't need God. You know, where is God? Who knows? Is there really a God? Science is all powerful. We have already conquered the earth and now we are going into space and we have gone to the moon and we have conquered the oceans and science can do anything. Technology can accomplish anything. So science and technology, where did it come from? It came from that Lord. So a truly powerful person is one who has power accompanied by compassion, accompanied by love, where I use my resources, use whatever I have for the benefit of others. And Ram is a prime example. They say that Ram not only was very kind and compassionate, but he showed us how an ideal human being should live. Ram came on earth and did not show his divine powers. He lived like an ordinary king, an ordinary human being. But he showed us that how an ideal son should be, how an ideal husband should be, how an ideal father should be, how an ideal enemy, even towards his enemies, he was kind and compassionate. That's why they say that Ram is a role model. That if you see Ram's life, that is how you should live the life. So that's why he says, among all the warriors, among all the people who carry weapons, I am Ram. So the idea being that anything that is good, that is me. Jasha naam makaras chasmi. And among all the fish, I am the shark. Makar is called shark because shark, again, everybody knows it's very strong, it's very fast, it has very sharp teeth and can destroy anything, even bigger animals, bigger fish than itself. So that is one meaning of makara. I am the shark. But makara also in Sanskrit also means the crocodile. So some people interpret that the Lord says, among all the fish, I am the crocodile. Now why have they chosen crocodile? Because the crocodile, even though it swims in the water, it's kind of a sea animal, it has an armor. You know, it has a strong armor, which is so strong that cannot be penetrated. So the idea of the symbolism of crocodile is that a spiritual seeker should be like a crocodile, have this armor of protection around him or her. And in life, as we are going through life, we are going to get all kinds of problems, you know, physical problems, mental problems. You know, somebody may be mean to us, somebody is unkind to us, somebody steals from us, somebody hurts us physically or mentally. But if you have the armor of your spiritual sadhana, of your spiritual knowledge and the spiritual power, then you remain protected. And so they said, regardless of what the world is doing to you, you should remain calm, remain peaceful, not let the world affect you. So have this armor of the Lord's power, of the Lord's name. And then that's why they say you should be like the makara, like the crocodile, and do not let the world's insults or problems affect you. And it says, Srotasam Asmi Janhavi, among all the rivers, I am the river Ganga. And those of us who grew up in India, the Ganga is worshipped, you know, as Mother Ganga, as the goddess. And there are many reasons. You know, one, of course, one reason is, you know, it is a huge river and it nourishes several hundred million people. The entire northern India gets its nourishment, you know, from the river, and people get water from there. And they bathe in that and they, you know, use it for their houses and all the waterworks, and even all the pollution is put in there, but it just carries it. Well, that, you know, a lot of rivers do that. So why is the Ganga River special? You know, Yamuna does it and all the other, you know, Brahmaputra does it, and in the south, Kaveri and all. And here, Mississippi and Missouri and so many rivers. But the river Ganga is particularly worshipped. Because there is another story associated with it. There was this king called Bhagirath, who was a very great king. And his ancestors, 60,000 of his ancestors, had been cursed. They had done something very evil. And so they were cursed, where even after death, they were not liberated. They were living as goblins and ghosts. And so he came to know that 60,000 of my ancestors are living as without liberation. They are suffering. They are not even been allowed to go into the higher worlds. They are just, you know, they became ghosts, basically, and they couldn't leave. And so he said, how can I get them? And of course, they were, you know, there was this one place where they had been cremated, but they were still roaming around there. So he said, how can I liberate them? So he goes into meditation, and he is told that when the river Ganga comes, all of those, your ancestors will be liberated. Now, it is said the river Ganga was up in the heavens. She was not on earth at that time. She was not flowing. And so he again, in his meditation, he invokes Lord Vishnu. And it is said the Ganga was at the feet of Lord Vishnu. It was there in the heavens. And so he invokes her and he says, oh, Mother Ganga, oh, Goddess, please come down and bless the earth. And not only, of course, free my ancestors, but also this whole area. When the river flows, it will become fertile. That's what happens. You know, the whole northern India is fertile because of the flow of this beautiful river. And it is said that if you go take a bath in it, all your sins get washed away. So why does that happen? So he invoked, and so it is said she came from the feet of Lord Vishnu. But she tells Bhagirath, she says, look, you know, my power is so strong that if I come on earth, I'll wipe out the whole earth, because she had so much power from, you know, from above. And so then he said, what am I supposed to do? So then he meditates on Lord Shiva, and it is said Lord Shiva has, you know, hair, jata. And so then Lord Shiva says, okay, I will take the power of Ganga on my head and then slowly release it for the benefit of mankind. And so Lord Shiva sacrifices and sits there, and then the Ganga falls on his head and then flows through. So there is a lot of symbolism in that. The symbolism is that this divine knowledge that when we get, it is very hard for us to absorb it. Why? Because we do not have the purity of mind. But Shiva, who was a meditator, who had a pure mind, who was very peaceful. So when you become quiet and peaceful and listen, because when we go to lectures, you know, and we go for a camp, and somebody says, you listen to Swamiji for an hour and a half, or you go home and you say, lecture was very good. So you say, okay, so what did, you know, suppose your husband or wife asks, lecture was very good. So you say, what did Swamiji say? Well, Swamiji said, it was very good. Yeah, but what did he say? You should have been there. You should go there tomorrow. We don't remember. You know, we listen for an hour and a half to a beautiful discourse, but we go home and we don't remember. It gets washed out because our mind is not peaceful. Our mind is not pure. So like Shiva, his mind was peaceful, where he could absorb the force of this knowledge and then release it slowly. So that's why the wise people, they listen from their guru, they listen from their teacher, and then they're able to share the knowledge with us. They're able to release it because they have the purity of mind, they have the quietude of mind. Then it is said that a dip in the Ganges, in the Ganga, will purify all your sins. All your sins. And it is said that Hindus believe that if I go there and I come out, my sins will be purified. So somebody asked Ramakrishna Paramhans. Ramakrishna Paramhans was a great saint, and they asked him. They said, you know, Ramakrishna ji, you know, Swamiji, you know, it is said that when you take a dip in the Ganga, your sins get purified. He said, yes. He said, but there are these business people in Calcutta, you know, who are so corrupt, and they are so crooked businessmen, and they live on the banks of river Ganga. Their shops are there. Every day they take a bath and they come out, and they are still as crooked as they were before. They are still as corrupt. So looks like Ganga has had no effect on them. So Ramakrishna Paramhans says, yeah, you're right, but I'll give you an example. He says, now you look at these buffaloes, right? Now these buffaloes have mud caked on them, you know, a lot of mud. And there are flies who are eating the mud, right? They're enjoying the mud. So buffalo is always covered with thousands of flies. Now when the buffalo goes to take a bath in the Ganga, what happens to the flies? They fly away, right? They don't go in the water. They know that this guy is going in the water is dangerous. Flies are very smart. So they fly above. And then the moment the buffalo comes out, they re-land on the flies and start eating again. Now the mud is even more delicious because now it's wet, easier to eat. So he says that these merchants are like the buffaloes. And even, you know, that they go in the water, just as the buffalo, when it went in the water temporarily, the flies went away. But soon as the buffalo comes up, the flies come back. So similarly, when we are in a spiritual satsang or listening to Swamiji or listening to some good teachings, temporarily our mind is pure. But the moment we get out and we get into the world, all our old vasanas, our old habits are waiting for us. They immediately come and engulf us. So we become as like we were before, as if we didn't even hear it. Just as you take a dip in the Ganga, but when you come out, if you haven't changed your way of thinking and all your corrupt ideas and all your evil tendencies and all your bad habits are waiting for you. So you took a dip like that buffalo, and for a while you were purified and you got out, and then your habits are waiting. So does that mean that I have to stay in the Ganga 24 hours a day, 365 days a week? No, what it means is that the Ganga represents spiritual knowledge. So when I take a dip in that spiritual knowledge, when I listen to Swamiji or listen to some good discourses, then when I come out, I should not just dust off the knowledge and forget and leave. Because those evil tendencies and wrong habits are waiting for me to come out of this lecture so they can come and grab me again. So I have to become very alert. So when I listen to these discourses, I should take that knowledge with me and keep it with me. So as if I'm constantly dipping in that spiritual knowledge. So constantly keep your mind immersed in that spiritual knowledge. So constantly immerse yourself in Ganga. Does not mean physically you stay there, but you constantly remember that purity of that river or the purity of the knowledge, because Ganga represents the flow of spiritual knowledge. So when you leave from a discourse, keep that the spiritual ideas with you and carry them and bring them in your life. Then only you can get rid of those negative tendencies. So that's what they say, that Bhagavad Gita is not only to be listened. Okay, I listened and I know already chapter 10. But how can I go out of here and apply this knowledge so I see the Lord everywhere and I see His glory and I bring His qualities in me to make me a more divine individual? So that is the idea, that among the rivers, I am Ganga. Yes, yes. Yes, there is. It's based on our karmas. See, even among us, among in the world, you find there are some people who are very evil, who are totally tamasic, you know, who are very evil, very corrupt. And then there are some people who are in between, and then there are some people who are saints. So it is not a one-time deal. You know, that's why we say it is a reincarnation. So it is a gradual evolution. And in life, people are at different levels of evolution, each and every one of us. Like I may be different from her, from the man on the street. The man on the street actually may be a realized saint. I may not even know it. So each and every one of us is a different level of evolution based on our previous karmas. So that is why, you know, we, even though we are all have that divinity, but not everybody has the same. Electricity is the same. But there are some smaller bulbs, and then there are some big bulbs, 60,000 watts, you know, that illumine the whole stadium. And then there might be a tiny little bulb that is a nightlight. So the electricity is the same, but depending on the equipment, one can illumine a small area, one can illumine the whole football field. Or one bulb may be very dirty, another bulb may be clean. So that clean bulb will illumine more, while the dirty bulb will not. So that dirty bulb and the clean bulb, they both have the same electricity, but the manifestation is different. So each and every one of us has the divinity, but not everybody manifests it to that same degree. So it depends on the degree of evolution. And then it is said that God Himself appears with all His, not with all, but a great power. And that's when He comes as Buddha or Krishna or Ram or Jesus, who from the childhood itself exhibit that divinity. So either you can say the Lord appeared, or the Lord gives his power to these evolved souls who then come and spread his message. God does not punish them. God, you are punished by your own karmas.
Right, exactly.
So it has nothing to do with God. God is like the, God has nothing to do with it. It says, I give you the power, and depending on how you use it, you get the results of your own karma. But God has the power to modify that if you approach him, like when Jesus prayed to him. Maybe God had some compassion, and maybe they did not suffer as much because the great saint like him prayed. So he does listen to prayers.
But the same karma not be the same for Jesus as it was for the hundreds of other men that they also tortured and killed?
Well, I think it would be different. Like, say, if you're walking and you step on a cockroach. Mm-hmm. Now, does that give you, it gives you some negative karmic. Mm-hmm. It is bad. And then you go slaughter a dog or a horse. That is worse. But if you kill a man, even the law of the land, will punish you more. If you kill a horse, you maybe get a year. But if you kill a man, you get 14 years or 25 years. So yes, even in the human laws, there is a difference. So there has to be, But in the end, it is not God. It is yourself. Nobody is punishing anybody. You are being punished. That's why Swami Chinmayananda used to say, you are being punished by your sins, not for your sins. You are not punished for your sins. You are punished by your sins. If they say you are being punished for your sins, that means there is somebody else who is punishing you. But here you are being punished. So the law of karma is 100%. It's absolutely, for every good deed, you get good result. For every bad deed, you get a bad result. So there is no escape from that. Yeah, there is a slight escape if you sincerely repent and you approach the Lord with humility and ask for forgiveness, that maybe they may be modified. And in fact, that's what they say, that a person who is a devotee of the Lord and who remembers the Lord and worships the Lord and humble and all that, the karmas come to him, but then the Lord gives him strength to bear them. And that's the power of prayer. They say, well, then why should I pray if I'm going to be punished for my sins anyway? Why should I pray? Through prayer and through remembering the Lord and through approaching him with love and asking for his, forgiveness, asking for his guidance, asking for his strength, you get strength to bear the world's. So the karmas will still come to you, but you will be stronger. And that's what we find in these devotees of the Lord. They love the Lord so much, they say, whatever the world does to me, doesn't matter. Because mere to giridhar gopal dusra na koi. Mirabai said, I'm married to Krishna. No matter how much the world tortures me, I don't care. So because they become married to the Lord, they become one with him. And then for them, Mirabai was given so many tortures by her family. They even tried to poison her. We just heard the story of Prahlad. His father tried to have him put in the fire and thrown off the mountain. Nothing can affect them that's why remembering the Lord has a lot of... The best example I have talked about before, they say, well, why is God partial to his devotees? And somebody who doesn't remember him, is God like a politician? That, if you go and approach him, then he will bless you with some, a contract. And if you don't go, you won't get a contract. It's not like that. The best example is that there is a fireplace. I think I've given that example. There is a fireplace blazing. Now, there is one person sitting close to the fire and another one sitting there. Now, the guy sitting there is, I'm so cold. Why does the fire not bless me? Why does the fire not? The fire is so partial. Look, it is blessing that guy. That guy is sitting next to the fire and he's enjoying the fire's heat. Now, you are sitting far away and you say, I don't want to go near the fire, but I want the fire. You're not going to get the benefit of that. If you want the benefit of the fire, go close and sit next to the fire. Because the fire blesses everybody equally, but the ones who are closest gets the blessings more. And the one who is far away won't have it and he'll be complaining. So that's why remembering the Lord, the closer you get to Him, the closer you become like Him. The more I remember, the more. And the idea of human birth is to become divine, to become saints. That's why they say, no, there are levels. There is the fish and or the plants, then there are animals, then there are humans, and then there are the saints or the heavenly, you know. Then, so the saints are a higher breed of evolution than you and me. So the idea is that man should not only be satisfied with, okay, I became a man, that's good enough. No, I have to go beyond man to become a saint and then to become one with that divine power, with that Lord. And so that is the goal of human birth, is to realize that divinity. And so through, I'm sorry?
So what are your comments on one directly being down?
No, because his ego died. See, he was chanting the name of the Lord for so many years,
like he's not there,
that the robber no longer existed. See, that robber died, that villain died. And so his so that is a rare example where you can actually go beyond karmas when you realize the truth. A realized master, all his past karmas go and his future karmas go. The realized master only has to live the present karmas of this present life, this present body, this prarabdha. So in the law of karma, once you realize, then you are no longer that old ego. Once you become a saint, you are no longer that individual. Yeah, but that's a very rare example. No, but that's a rare example. You know, not many of us can become like that. You know, for most of us, it is a gradual what we should learn from that, rather than worrying about what happened, it is possible, and learn from his life that I also can become a divine saint like Valmiki. Instead of worrying about what happened to his karmas, let the karma, karma data, let the Lord worry about it. So rather than worrying about what happened to him, how can I learn from his life that even an evil, you know, villain or a monster could become a saint? So for you and me, it should be easier. We are not as bad as he was. That's the message I try to take from these stories, that how can I mean, not that I have, you know, reached on anything, but I'm trying. That's the message one should take from all these stories. He understood. Like if he's talking to an American, he might say, among the mountains, I am the Rocky Mountains. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhagave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.